Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
The history of the church. The history of the true church of Jesus Christ is the story of the work of the Holy Spirit as He has led men and women to an understanding of the truth of salvation in Christ. And then how He has directed those believers to reach out to people in this world with the gospel message, teaching them, teaching us how we are to live among the people of this world. And it was a man by the name of Luke, a physician, a close friend and traveling companion of the Apostle Paul, a beloved brother in Christ, a man who was with Paul up until the time that Paul was executed in Rome for preaching the gospel, a man who loved the Lord, a man who was committed to Christ. It was Luke who the Lord gave the assignment of writing the history of the first 30 years of the church in what has been called the book of Acts, praxis in Greek, a word that was sometimes used to describe heroic deeds, acts of courage. Acts is a letter that Luke wrote, but it is a letter that was inspired by the Holy Spirit as He selected events and people whom He wished to bring to our attention. A letter that was perhaps written during the first imprisonment of Paul in Rome somewhere around 62 AD. But the book of Acts is more than just a historical document. It is more than just an account of the early years of the church. Years that were certainly filled with excitement and filled with opposition and danger from the forces of evil. But Acts is more than that. It is the story of the effect of the resurrection of Jesus Christ on those who followed Him, on their lives, how their lives were changed because of Him, because of His resurrection. It is a testimony to the power of Jesus Christ, the power to change lives, how He took an unlikely group of men and women, a small group of believers, and He equipped them, and He used them to turn the world upside down. And as this journey of Acts begins, in the very first words of this letter, chapter 1, Luke reminds us of another letter, his first letter, a letter which he wrote, which has come to be called the Gospel of Luke. A letter that he wrote only a few years before he wrote this letter of Acts. But both letters were addressed to the same individual. Luke 1:3, we are told that he calls him Most Excellent Theophilus, a title that would have been used to describe a man of importance in society, or a man who was a government official, a man by the name of Theophilus, which means one who loves God. So this is a personal letter. This is correspondence from one man to another. But it's correspondence that was inspired by the Lord, which we now have the benefit of reading today. Only the Lord knows what effect our lives will have on those that we speak to, that we write to. And Luke points out in verse 1, the first account that I composed, Theophilus, the first letter that I wrote to you, speaks of the finished work of Christ, speaks of his work on the cross, the work for our salvation, and his work is complete. It is sufficient to save our souls. But that first account, Theophilus, also is about all that Jesus began to do, all that he began to teach while he was here on this earth. The work is not finished. He has begun the work of reaching the lost. The assignment continues. The assignment of making disciples rests on us. The work isn't finished. And even after his resurrection, Jesus continued to instruct his disciples, didn't he? He continued to explain the word of God to them. He continued to prepare them for the unfinished work that they were about to undertake. Jesus gave them what they needed to know, even until the day when he was taken up to heaven. He opened their eyes to the truth that the promises of God that are found in the Old Testament, the promises of a Savior, the promises of a Redeemer, the promises of salvation, all those promises had been fulfilled in him. And he made the message clear. He made the message understandable to them so that they would be able to carry that message to other people. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If we're to carry the message of Christ, if we're to bring the truth of the gospel, and we are to share it with others, well, then we must first be clear on what we believe. We need to understand the message. We need to know the truth. And certainly we need to live out that truth. And then we must be able to share that truth with those around us, to tell others of the hope that we have within us. And so Christ continues to be the theme. He continues to be the focus of all that we preach, of all that we teach. We need to accurately articulate the truth of the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord. As Paul instructed Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, where he said, we are to be diligent. We are to make it the goal of our life to be pleasing to our Lord so that he approves each step that we take, because each step that we take has been ordered by the Word of God. So we are to handle the word, Paul says, with precision. We are to handle it with accuracy so that we are not ashamed when we stand before him. That while we are here on this earth, that our lives might bring something of beauty, something of value to the doctrine of God as a living epistle. We are to be a living epistle of the truth of the Word of God, of the grace of God that he has shown towards us. And while Jesus was here on this earth, he invested much of his time in the apostles, in 12 men, so that they might become living epistles, that they might bring the truth to the world when he returned to heaven. So in verse 2, Luke says this: after he had, by the Holy Spirit, by the power, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, given orders to his apostles, entelo, Jesus gave them instructions. He instructed them to preach the gospel, didn't he? He instructed them to take the message to the world. An assignment that was given to those men, whom it says he had chosen, eglekō, he had selected these men, just as he has selected us to bring that message, for that task. So to these disciples, Luke says, he presented himself alive, paristemi in Greek. He appeared to them in the flesh. He appeared to them in a glorified body. And he appeared to them a number of times after his resurrection, after his suffering, after his death. He appeared to them and he validated to them that he truly was alive by many convincing proofs, Luke says. Eating with them, speaking with them, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, appearing to them at least 10 times that we are aware of in the New Testament. So there was no doubt in their minds, was there, that Jesus was alive from the dead. They believed because they were eyewitnesses to that fact, to that truth. But blessed are those of us who have not seen him and yet who still believe. Blessed are those of us who know that he is alive from the dead, and even though we have not seen him, we love him and we rejoice with joy that is beyond what words can express. We believe that our Savior stands in the glory of heaven. By faith, we believe. And it was during this time, these 40 days, when Jesus was with his disciple, these days after his resurrection, that we are told that he was speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. He was occupied with the truth of the scriptures. He spoke of the glory, of the majesty, of the kingdom of God, his kingdom. His kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom, we're told in Psalm 145. His dominion, which endures to all generations, forever and ever. And so we're told in Luke chapter 24 that when he instructed them, he told them that they were to preach repentance. They were to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness that can only be found in him. Freedom from the bondage of our sin. A freedom which transfers us from the kingdom, from the domain of Satan, and transfers us into the kingdom of Christ. This is the message that we are to bring. This is the message that we are to proclaim today. And I suppose the disciples would have listened to Jesus instruct them for another 40 days or more. But finally, it was time for him to return to heaven. And so we're told in verse 4 that he gathered them together. Sunalizo in Greek. He assembled them in a group. Where? Just outside of Jerusalem, near the village of Bethany, about 2 miles east of Jerusalem, near the Mount of Olives. And there in that place, we are told, he commanded them. Parangelo. Like a military commander, he gave them instructions. Like a physician, he gave them a prescription. They weren't ready to go out and preach the gospel. They weren't prepared for the assignment. And so he told them they were not to leave Jerusalem. But he said they were to wait. Perimeno. They were to keep on waiting. They were to wait, he said, for what the Father had promised. Epan alia. A proclamation. The proclamation of blessing. A blessing, Jesus said, which you have also heard from me. A promise that is made in Ezekiel chapter 36, where the Lord says this, I will sprinkle you with water, and I will make you clean. I will cleanse you from your filthiness and from your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. This is a promise of divine enablement, a promise that now we can be obedient, a promise that we can have victory as the Lord puts his spirit within us. For Jesus says in verse 5, John the Baptist, baptized with water, baptizo, he immersed you in water, a baptism for repentance. He says, but you will be baptized, you will be immersed in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In 10 days, the church would be born. And the coming, the descent of the Holy Spirit from heaven would be the signal of that birth. God sovereignly pours out his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, on those he chooses to save. On all those he chooses to save. As we are told in Titus chapter 3, where it says, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but he saved us according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's complete. Through Christ, we are cleansed from our sin. Through him, we're given a new life. And through him, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, so that now we might be able to live that new life in the power of Christ. As the Spirit uses the Word of God to instruct us, to correct us. But like many people today, the disciples were confused. They were confused about what was about to take place. They had the wrong focus. They had the wrong perspective. So when they were come together, we're told in verse 6, they were asking him, erotaho. They kept on asking him over and over again, repeatedly saying to him, Lord, tell us. Lord, tell us. Is it at this time? Is it at this moment of time that you are restoring apokathistemi, that you are giving back the kingdom to Israel? Is it at this time that you will set things in order on this earth? What were they looking for? Well, they were still looking for a physical kingdom, weren't they? They were looking for a political kingdom. Their hope was that it was time for the Messiah to set up his kingdom on this earth, especially since in Ezekiel chapter 36 and in Joel chapter 2, we are told that the coming of the kingdom is related to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. No wonder they thought it was time for the earthly kingdom of Christ. But in verse 7, Jesus said to them, there are some things that will remain a mystery to you for now. It is not necessary for you to know these things. So it is not for you to know, ginosko. It is not for you to be given understanding of the times, chronos, of the exact time of these things. It is not for you to know the epics, the kairos, the specific events, the points of time, which the Father has fixed, tithemi, which He alone has assigned, and He has already established by His own authority, exousia, by His jurisdiction. These matters are for Him alone to know. So, if we speculate, or if we assign times and dates to the coming of the kingdom of Christ, we have overstepped our bounds. We have gone beyond our knowledge. We've gone beyond our authority. But instead, we are to stay alert because we don't know the hour. We don't know when our Lord will return. But you, he says in verse 8, you are to focus on the task at hand. So he tells the disciples, remain in Jerusalem and you shall receive power. Dunamis, you will receive miraculous power. You will receive supernatural power. You will receive power that comes from God, might and strength and ability when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Eperkomai, when He descends from heaven. And He has descended from heaven. And now He lives in those of us who know Jesus Christ, so that He is able to do in us and through us exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, it says in Ephesians 3:20. How? It says there, according to the power that works within us. And so Jesus tells his disciples, you shall be my witnesses, martus. You will testify of me. You will speak the gospel. You will live the gospel, both in Jerusalem, right here, right now, right where you are, and in all Judea, all around you, even in Samaria, to the north, to those who you perceive as your enemies. And beyond that, he says, to the remotest part of the earth. And that assignment, that responsibility hasn't changed, has it? Isn't that still the mandate that we have been given by Christ? That through us, those of us who know Christ, we are to advance the kingdom one soul at a time, even around the globe. Well, and after he had said these things, we're told, Luke 24 tells us that he lifted his hands to bless them. He blessed his disciples, and we're told as he was blessing them, he was lifted up, epiro, he was carried away up into the sky. While the disciples were looking on, blepo in Greek, they were intensely watching him as he faded from view. And a cloud received him, hupo lambano. The cloud seemed to surround him, to envelop him, until he was out of their sight. And in a moment, just like that, he was gone. And as they were still gazing into the sky while he was departing, atenidso, while they were straining their eyes to see if they could still see him in the distance, behold, Luke tells us in verse 10, idu, pay attention to this. Two men in white clothing, lukos, in clothing that was shining like the sun. Two angels suddenly were there, and they stood beside the disciples. And not only were they standing there, we are told they spoke to them and they said this, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This Jesus, this same one whom you have known, whom you love, this same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven, he will come again. He will come in just the same way, tropos, in the same manner as you have watched him go to heaven. You witnessed him leave in a cloud. He will return in the clouds. You have seen him go in glory. He will return in glory and in majesty. But he will return without warning. So live each day as if he might return today. Live in anticipation of that day." And those are instructions for us as well. As we're reminded on the last page of our Bible, as we are given the final words, the final written words of Jesus Christ, words found in Revelation 22:20, where he said this, "Yes, it is true. I am coming quickly." Tahu in Greek. I am coming without delay. And then the Apostle John speaks for all of us who know and who love Jesus Christ. And he responds to those words of Jesus and he says this, "Amen. On the authority of these words of our Lord, it will come to pass. So come, Lord Jesus." And then the journey that we have been on, the journey on this earth will be over. And the journey into eternity will begin, and it will last forever. May we live, may we breathe in the knowledge of this truth and in the reality of the grace that God has shown to us through Christ. So we say, amen, and amen. So shall it be forever.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.